Okay, good morning, church. Special day today. Before we get into our time of saying goodbye to Bob and Amelia and Dan, this is the weekend that we acknowledge Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is a really important day for us to think about. You know, for many people, it's just a time of getting together with family and having a Monday off. But every day, the church, every member, every follower of Jesus is called upon to engage in spiritual warfare of some kind. We have a real enemy and a God who can give us victory over all of his deceits. But we read things like this to encourage us and to remind us. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Ephesians 6, 10 to 12, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and the powers over this present darkness, against the forces of evil in heavenly places. That's all of our battle. That's every day. But there are some people, men and women, many of them born-again Christians who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have had to remember verses like these while real bullets were whistling around them. Some never returned from battle to enjoy another Memorial Day with their families. Memorial Day is the day that we set apart on the last Monday of each May in order to honor U.S. military personnel who have died while serving their nation and the cause of freedom in the United States Armed Forces. We're here today because of the sacrifice that many of them have made, laying their life upon the altar of their nation's need. Over 1.3 million Americans have paid the ultimate sacrifice to afford us the freedoms that we enjoy and take for granted every day. Now, if you've served in the United States military or are serving, would you please stand? Anyone who has served in the military? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your service. Thank you that you're here with us today, safe and sound. But we want to take a moment just to pray. Thanking the Lord for the sacrifice that many of them have given, and also for their families who have a missing place at the table each and every year. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that you have given to us and for the price that was paid by our Lord Jesus Christ so that we might live in true spiritual freedom. We remember that today, the cost of it, the sacrifice of it. We also remember the brave men and women who have fought and who continue to fight so courageously for our nation. We ask for your covering and blessing over them and their families. We pray that you would be gracious to them, Lord. Encircle them with your peace. We pray for your great favor and goodness to be evident in their lives. Please be with all of those who wear the uniform, who serve our nation each and every day. We ask that you provide them your protection, that you would guide their way, that you would be their rear guard and keep them safe from behind. We ask that you would draw them nearer and nearer and nearer to yourself amidst the dangers that they face in this dark world that is ever growing darker. We pray for the families of those who have lost loved ones, Father. Comfort them from a very deep place, Lord, as only you can. Because you, Lord, truly alone are the way, the truth, and the life. We love you and praise you and give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.
Thank you. way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
Oh boy, those really get to me. Those really get to me. The voice of President Reagan, of course. I had the privilege when I was serving in the United States Navy of serving under Ronald Reagan as our commander-in-chief. And we always felt very well cared for with him at the helm. Well, good morning again. And now we're going to get to the part that we're all anticipating here this morning. We're saying goodbye to three truly beloved saints. People that have a deep, deep place in our heart. I have been thinking about this all week as I've been preparing. What I have to say at the end is going to depend on how the service goes. Most of what you hear today is going to be Bob and Amelia and then Dan sharing with you whatever the Lord has laid upon their heart to do so. Welcome all any friends who are here because they're saying goodbye to either of these three wonderful believers. But I was thinking this week, I was trying to remember a time. Now, we've been here for, this is our 27th year at Harvest, I believe. We're trying to remember a time when I didn't see their faces. Now, I know they came in somewhere. But from the very beginning, it seems like they were always there. And these are not people, the three of them, these are not people who came in and began attending church. They immediately embraced the work of ministry. They found their area where the Lord wanted to use them, and they made themselves available to the Lord. Every time we had a major event, you would find some of them there, and it's a really remarkable thing. We're going to have Bob and Amelia come up first, I'm not going to give you their resume. I'm not going to tell you everything they have done for the church because you know it. You know that any time there's been any work that we've been doing of any significance, they're there. They have an unbelievable heart for people to know the Lord. Amelia has been a part of 3.0 and arranging the snacks upstairs for a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on the worship team. By the way, it was great to see Vicky up there today, too. And Dave Lacasse has been on the drums lately. That's really, really wonderful. But Amelia's, her voice, we've heard it every Sunday singing to us for many, many years. And Bob has a ministry like no one else in this church. I really believe this. He has a ministry of prayer and encouragement. When Bob comes up to you and says, and he says this to me all the time, preacher, he's the only one in the church that calls me preacher, and I am one. So I'm usually just called the Sermonator. But Bob calls me preacher, and he says, preacher, I pray for you every day. And you know what? When Bob says it, I believe it's true. This man has a beautiful prayer life with the Lord, beautiful heart for God. Never a time when the men get together that he's not there, always sharing a portion with us from the Lord. They desire to win people to the Lord as a couple, which is so beautiful to see. We go out Christmas caroling every year, so we want to knock on doors and we want to sing those great Christmas. God rest you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. You know, we sing gospel songs and we go door to door to our neighbors. And I remember a couple, maybe three, 4 years back, Bob and Amelia came and said, you know what, we want to win our neighborhood. could we do like a special thing where we can invite people just, their desire was that everybody in their neighborhood would come to know Jesus. And so we'd go and have a special day, usually a Sunday afternoon, as I remember, and we'd go to Amelia and Bob's house, and then we would set out and knock on all of the doors in the area. A real heart for the Lord. Hard to lose people like that. You know, we're very selfishly, you know, we look at it, and I'll share you a few comments at the end here today. But very selfishly, we look at it and we say, oh, what a loss for us. But it's also creating great opportunities for someone else to step up, to look at their life and how the Lord has used them and to step up. I do know this, wherever they go, the work of the Lord will continue. And as they go, the work of the Lord will continue here. Amen. So I'm going to hand it over to Bob and Amelia. They're going to come up, and they are going to share with you what the Lord has laid on their heart. And make it good, because we're all watching. Don't mail this. Okay, you're going to come up separately? Oh, Bob's coming.
He's going to go.
Brother.
There you go. It's all yours.
I'm so grateful and thankful for the day that I stepped into this church. It's been a true blessing to be a part of a church that has a vision, you know, to win people to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I'm so thankful for to get the word out. We first started out, I remember we had all the Bibles out here, and we prayed over the Bibles, and we went out into Woonsocket, and we handed out the word of God, and we have that promise that the Lord's word would not return void. So I was really grateful and thankful to be a part of handing out over 5,000 Bibles, you know, just sharing the good news with people. And then there was with the leadership of Jim and Cindy, and we went out, you know, the whole church gathered together, and we put together our door hangers, and we, in just about a year, we covered all of Woonsocket, and it was great working with them, you know, getting the street assignments, you know, through the summertime, the fall, and then even going up, you know, after it started to snow. But just going out and being a part of, you know, sharing the good news with people and being able to pray with people and to show them that there, you know, there is a loving Heavenly Father that loves them and wants to give them a home in heaven. So I'm grateful and thankful for that, and they continue their ministry. And then we have the Autumn Fest. My wife was a big part of that. I was a part of it. I was behind the scenes, you know, praying, asking the Lord to bless the Autumn Fest, and then, you know, coming back home from work and just hearing how the Lord had blessed. You know, such a great turnout. You know, my wife and others of you, you know, praying with people and people coming to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And that was a great and mighty thing. So I am grateful for this church and the vision, you know, of sharing the gospel. There is another thing, like when I got my hip replacement, after I was able to start to walk, being able to go out with Brother Jim and others of you, Mike and Val and others, you know who you are, going out into the encampment ministry, you know, sharing the good news, giving people a package of food, you know, for Brother Dan and others that would put a scripture verse on the food, and just being able to pray with people out in the encampment ministry. I was grateful and thankful to have been a part of that. But the mission goes on. The mission goes on. I'd like to share a verse. It's a real powerful verse, and I think it's a verse that we can all apply to our own personal Christian walk. A very powerful prayer. And the prayer can be found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 in verse 9. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren and his mother, called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez, he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. And God granted him his request." Your translation may say territory, may say landmarks. But that's a very wonderful, you know, strong prayer. He asked for the God of Abraham to enlarge his coast or his territory. You know, we've done so much in this area, but we have the entire world. And I believe, you know, through my wife and everything, you know, her vision, you know, we promised that, you know, the Lord's going to be with us wherever we go. And I truly believe that he has enlarged our territory. You know, we're going to go out. That's the mission of the church. A lot of people come to the church, and I know under Pastor Gene and his leadership, many people have gone out into ministry on mission fields or started other churches. That's what it's all about, you know, sharing the gospel. But yes, the Lord has enlarged our territory outside of this area, and the ministry is going to go on. The Lord's with us. He's going to bless us, and we're going to continue doing everything that we have done in this area. And I think that's, you know, speaks volumes to all of us, no matter where you are. You know, the prayer of Jabez, very powerful prayer. I think that's something we can all do. Lord, yes, enlarge our territory so we can go on, you know, to share the gospel with other people. So thank you, all the people here in this church. It's been a great ministry being able to be here. You know, I'll cease not to continue to pray for each and every one of you. We ask your blessing. You know, the mission goes on. We all have a mission. I'm grateful and thankful, and we will be visiting, and we will be staying in touch. But I truly believe that, you know, the Lord has enlarged our territory as he did Jabez. And as we go out sharing the gospel, you know, the Lord will bless us. And even though Jim and Cindy and others, you know, we all share the gospel, and sometimes, you know, Jabez would pray, Lord, you know, deliver me from evil. Because whenever you're going to do something for the cause of Christ and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to face trouble. But Jabez prayed that he would be blessed. The Lord did enlarge his territory. And many people in that area, you know, he was a herdsman. And he didn't want to be defined by who he was. You know, his mother bore him in sorrow, but he didn't allow that to allow him to be who he was. That's why he cried out to the God of Israel, and all of us can do the same thing. We can pray that same prayer, you know, for the Lord to bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory, wherever your territory is, and God will answer your prayer. And that, of course, he would keep us all from evil, because there is evil and wickedness out there in the world. But we just continue to pray, and that the Lord will continue to build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I love each and every one of you. I will cease not to pray for each and every one of you, and we will be in touch. And thank you, Pastor Gene. will continue to be listening to your sermons online, because your sermons have really helped me become a better man of God and a better husband. Thank you for all that you've done, you know, and my wife. And I know this church has really meant a lot to me in the 5 years that I've been here. And I just want to let you know that I love each and every one of you. And I just ask God's blessings upon you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. And I want to say, blessed be the name of the Lord that brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light, his glorious light. And I know many of us share that. And I'm so grateful to this church for everything from the day I stepped foot here as well. And I was talking to a good friend and kind of going over like what to say. And there's so much that's been done here at Harvest Community Church from the very beginning. I think of all the times we've gone out from the very beginning. J-Rock, I mentioned, I was talking about 3.0 with Lori, telling her I had something for 3.0, and J-Rock came out, and that was a wonderful time to be with the children there and going to the baseball games, and we had so much fun, and they had so much fun, and, you know, it's, you know, just being, it's been a privilege to serve at this church and a joy, you know, to do anything that the Lord has asked. I mean, He gave everything for us, and we have everything to give back to him. We have our lives, and we just really want to see other people come to know him. That's our greatest and our desire, is for others to know him more and more. Yes, we're heading to Florida, and like I said earlier today, it's like we could be at TF Green at, you know, we could leave Vero Beach at 6 a.m., be at TF Green and be here for the service at 10 a.m. on any Sunday. So this is not goodbye. No, it is a so long. It is until we meet again. I have so many friends the Lord has blessed me with here. I'll be forever grateful to Terry Lindgren and John Barry, and that first Bible study that I attended through a non-believer that we all knew, we were all connected, and the Lord knew to connect me with her, to be connected with Terry. And there's so many people that have gone and been a part of our lives and our ministry with Elaine and Paul Grennan at their home. You know, it's been invaluable, the lessons that we've learned and how the Lord has just moved in our lives. And I remember coming here, and I was a baby Christian. And through the ministry here, through the preaching, the teaching, and all of the Bible studies and fellowship with one another, you know, the Lord just growing, you know, he who begun a good work in us he who begun a good work in me will see it through the day of Christ Jesus. And every day, you know, I thank God for that. And I thank God for all of you that have been part of this this journey here at Harvest. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that are here. And we do pray for this church every day, the body, and all the ones that have come before us as well. So I thank a lot of my friends that are here from other churches to be here today. And it's Memorial Day, so we will never forget all the service people that have laid down their lives, you know, for our protection here. And it's quite a day to be up here, and it's joyful at the same time. And I think of I want to cry, but it's a happy cry, you know what I mean? Because it's sad, but it's joyful at the same time. To be part of a body of true believers who love the Lord and want to really just share his love with others and see others come to know him. So I thank you all, and I'm going to just hand it back over to Pastor Gene.
Thank you, guys. We're going to call you up at the end of service and pray over all.
Okay. Yep.
All right. All right. Can I miss them, huh? But as soon as I have their address, I'll put it out to everyone. We'll put it in the bulletin. So anyone who wants to go and stay with them for an extended period of time, they've got plenty of room. They're welcoming everybody. They can take groups up to, what, 8 or 9, you had said? Yeah, okay. All right, so. Yeah, Pastor Steve will be there every week. He'll drive you back and forth to church. Now, Dan Harrod, our dear brother Dan Harrod, you may not know the things that he has done to serve the Lord here at Harvest, because a lot of what he has done has really been confined to ministry to the least of these. Now, when I met Dan, we had just started this church, and the Lord had brought some homeless people to our church, and this is where we first began to say, you know, how can we open our doors and give these homeless, we had 3 homeless people that came to a church service, and after service told me they were homeless. So from there, our homeless ministry grew, and Dan became an essential part of that ministry. He was a part of it very early on, and up until, was it just last year when you moved, right? Oh, yeah, the year before, he was very active in the ministry. The guys down there love Dan because they see him as the real thing. He stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also cares very deeply about every man that is there, wants them to come to know the Lord, has a deep evangelistic heart. So when I met Dan, he was already doing this kind of work, not with the homeless, but he had a furniture ministry. Did you know this? He had a furniture ministry for years and years and years. He had a warehouse. People would donate furniture. So somebody would say, I have a kitchen set. He would go with another guy. They would go and they would grab the furniture. They'd throw it in the truck and they would put it in the warehouse. And then somebody would call and say, hey, I've got an apartment. I'm on a second floor tenement apartment in Woonsocket, and I need a kitchen set. And Dan and those that were working with him would deliver that kitchen set absolutely free to that family. They did this for years and years and years. And then finally I remember there was some issue with the warehouse or something. But eventually Dan ended up really transitioning into working with the homeless population. He's going to Alabama apparently with a banjo on his knee. And I didn't even know he was a musician, so this is interesting. All the years we could have had a banjo in the worship team. But he is going down to Alabama, and he can also, I think, you can have up to 6, you said, that want to come and visit, right? 6 at a time, okay. So we'll get you those addresses. Dan, come on up and share what the Lord has laid upon your heart to share with us, brother. And by the way, can I say this? He is guaranteed the only person in the church that could make a shirt like that work. Am I kidding? Is it right? Am I right?
Can I have that little stool?
Sure, sure. You know, Dan is also an Army veteran. He's very proud of his time in the military. And I owe... And I always tease him that, you know, if he would have studied harder, he could have got into the Navy. But teasing, you know, because I like to play.
God bless you. Good morning, church. Can you hear me okay? All right. Yeah, it's a hard thing leaving this place. I love everybody here, you know. But I got a plan. I'm going down there. I'm going to start a new ministry down there and see what happens. But, oh, yeah. Okay, can you hear me better? Okay. As I prepare to start this new chapter in Alabama, I'm filled with a deep gratitude for the time we spent together and the relationships we built. My time with you, particularly our ministry with the homeless, has been incredibly meaningful. It brings to mind a clear calling in Deuteronomy 15:11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hands and wide to and unto the my brothers and to the poor, to the needy in all the land. I'm so proud of the way this church has supported this viral mission, opening its hands wide to show God's love and to our most vulnerable neighbors. During my journey through cancer, this community has been a constant source of strength and comfort. The words from a poem I wrote together naturally capture exactly how much I relied on you all. For I need you there when I can't call, because if you can't come when I'm weak, then I'm afraid I might fall. When I was at my weakest, you were there to catch me. Your prayers, visits, and support during my most difficult stages meant more to me than you can ever know. You showed me a profound gentleness and honesty, proving that to me that the love within this congregation is real. As I move on, I hope to carry that spirit of resilience and service forward into my new community in Alabama. While miles will soon separate us, I find peace in knowing that our connection cannot be measured in time or distance. Though we're apart each night, this golden thread of light weaves this pattern through our dreams. Thank you for everything, and please know you're all always being have a special place in my heart. I love you all. And, can I do that song? I wrote this song a little while back, and I'd like to share that with you. I can find it. Hold on. Okay. Thoughts of me and you, love cannot be defined. Thank you so much. God bless you all, and I love you so much. Don't ever forget that.
We're going to have Dan and Amelia and Bob come up at the end of our service, and we'll have our deacons come up as well, and Pastor Steve, and we're going to pray over you guys and send you off properly. All right. Well, boy, that was wonderful. Dan wrote the words to that song. Very, very beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning, brother. Well, let's take a moment to just share a few things in the Word here. Father, thank you so much for this time that we've had hearing from our sister and our dear brothers. Lord, we'll miss them terribly, but we know, Lord, because of the miracle of who you are, Father, and your omnipresence, that you're going with them yet staying with us, and we love that. So, Lord, we pray that you would just give them a wonderful day, Father, as we honor them, as is right for all of the labor they have done in the Lord, Father, and celebrate this new change in their life. Bless our time together, Lord. Use the things that we're about to say to bring all of us into a deeper walk with you. We love you. We praise you. Give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, whenever we say goodbye to someone who we've labored with for years in the gospel, it's challenging and it's always a little bit complicated. Saying goodbye brings up a number of emotions that range from anything from gratitude to sorrow. We're thankful for all of the years we've had together, and we're also sorry that this day-to-day fellowship that we have had, week-to-week fellowship, will be broken. As believers, we understand that God is always working and that his plan always bears within it a plan for the future, as well as a thankfulness for the past and the present. We know that we're going to miss having these guys around every week, seeing them. I know Bob and Amelia, after service, are always up there fellowshipping with the gang. So we're certainly going to miss everybody's presence. But we also know that the Lord is creating a new beginning for them and for us here at Harvest. So let's talk about change in the little time that I have here this morning. Life, we could say, is a series of changes because we know that nothing ever stays the same for very long. If you're enjoying your kids or your grandkids, you're also aware that they're growing every day and that they're changing. I have pictures of all five of my grandchildren in my office, and I have pictures with it that look nothing like what they look like today. So quickly, they change. And change is difficult, because we usually like things the way that they are. So it's disorienting. Things remain as they are only for short seasons, short periods of time, and then another season comes. We lose people. Our health changes. Our finances change. And it's another challenge. Change should always be working within the life of a believer because we should always be moving into a deeper level of Christian maturity. And so I always pray when we begin our service, Lord, take the things that we're about to study and change us through them. Transformation is always what we're looking for when we approach the Word of God. And as we do, we see things clearer. You know, we looked a couple weeks back at the man that was healed by Jesus, and Jesus said, "Can you see?" And he said, "Well, I see men, but they look like trees walking." That's how it is for us when we're first saved. We see, but things are still blurry. But the longer we're in the Word and moving toward maturity, we see things clearer and clearer. Where before we saw men walking like trees, we begin to see things as they truly are. But I think the most challenging type of change for us to navigate is change that has to do with relationships. Somebody that we love dies. It's a milestone. There's life before that person, and there's life after that person. There's life before dad. There's life after dad passed. We have a conflict with a family member, and it seems that things cannot be reconciled no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we try. And something is not right, and we know it, and it's painful. We want things to be like they were before, but they're not. And when we've done all that we can do to fix it, we have to step back and say, "I'm going to give it to the Lord because that's my option. I can't fix this." But it hurts us. And it's much harder to give it over to the Lord than it sounds. It's easy for someone on the outside of it to say, oh, just give it to the Lord. But the pain is still there. That relationship is still broken. And the degree of difficulty that we face at times like that is directly related to how much we love that person. If there's somebody who's very close to us, it hurts us a great deal. If it's someone who's not so close, well, then it's easier to deal with. The wisest man who ever lived, except our Lord Jesus Christ, said this: for everything there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. I like dancing better than mourning, but mourning is usually more instructive. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sew, as in sewing cloth, right? A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. So, one day you're rushing to the hospital to welcome a brand new baby into the family, right, Lori? It's the most glorious thing. These are days that we love. The next day we're dressing in black to go and say goodbye to someone at a memorial service or a funeral home. One change feels good, the other hurts us. If you're in a time of laughing right now in your life, enjoy it. Because the Bible says right around the corner there's going to be a time for weeping. If your nation happens to be at peace right now, ours doesn't. But if your nation happens to be at peace, enjoy it, because before long we will be at war. If you're dancing, rejoice in that. But dancing can quickly turn, as we all know, to mourning. To be human is to live through a continual rhythm of hellos and goodbyes, hellos and goodbyes. We're playing on the rug, and before you know it, we're getting on a school bus for the first time. Mom's crying, we don't know why. Then before long, we're leaving the house that we grew up in, and we're off to college or to the military, or we're moving towards some career. We're trying to chase some career somewhere in another town, and eventually we're sitting down, reflecting, counting the costs, and trying to figure out how Medicare works. And it happens, especially for you young people here today, it happens so fast. It's like a blur. I heard one pastor say one time, you know, you blink once in your 30, you blink twice in your 40, you blink three times in your 50, and after that, stop blinking. All along the way, we have these goodbyes. So many moments that we've had to say goodbye to friends and to family. And we have to do that to turn the next page in the life that God is giving to us. And do we ever get used to it? Ever get used to goodbyes? Never. Relationships are God's good gift to us, but as with all things in human experience, they can hurt a lot when change comes. And these relationships can be interrupted by death or by sin, or by misunderstanding, or by distance. And that's what we're acknowledging here together this morning, the distance that will be created as our friends relocate to the south to win the lost to Jesus down there. The fact that our fellowship with Bob and Amelia and Dan, although they remain obviously in our hearts, will be interrupted by distance challenges us. Pretending that it doesn't make us sad doesn't make us more faithful. It only makes us dishonest. No, saying goodbye is a fundamental part of what it means to be human, and forcing us to juggle the competing ideas of hope and loss, of gratitude and sadness. So I am not giving you a brand new rhema, a brand new revelation from God when I say that saying goodbye is sad. And it turns out that sad goodbyes are actually a very biblical thing. Paul had been in Ephesus for a long time. He had planted that church. He had nurtured that church. He loved the people there. He was there for a long time. It was interrupted. We saw recently how he had to travel to Corinth to settle all of that nonsense over there. But he was there for a very long time, and now he was leaving. The Lord had commanded him to leave. He had to go. There was other work that needed to be done. And making things more difficult is the fact that Paul had received a real awareness from the Lord that he would never see the faces of the people in Ephesus again. So he gathered the church, the leaders of the church together, and he said to them, it's a long passage in Acts chapter 20. I was going to read it all for you, but I'm not. But if you download the notes that will be attached to this message, you can read it for yourself. It's in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 18 and going all the way to 38. But after saying a number of things to the leaders of Ephesus, he said in verse 25, "And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again." And this brought great sorrow to these people. They loved the Apostle Paul. You know, he was their spiritual father. He had been the one who led them and nurtured them to spiritual maturity. And then in verse 36, we read, "When he had said all these things, he knelt down and he prayed with them." And now watch this. "And there was much weeping on the part of all." This was a sad goodbye. "And they embraced Paul and they kissed him." That's not what the Greek says. The Greek says they fell on his neck and covered them with kisses. We'll see it in another translation. But it says they kissed him, and being sorrowful most of all because of the word that he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and then they accompanied him to the ship. Now, do you see all the emotion there? This is a very human thing. Goodbyes are a very human thing and a very painful thing. Paul was a pillar of the church at Ephesus. Bob and Amelia and Dan have been pillars of the church here. We've labored with them in the gospel. We've reached for souls together with them. We've rejoiced in the fellowship of the saints together. And as you guys pack up and leave Harvest to go to where the Lord is leading you, we want you to know how much your labor, your love, your care, your presence have meant to us here at Harvest. We love you with all of our heart. You've all been intricate parts of the tapestry of faith that the Lord has been weaving for 27 years here at Harvest. And we're so thankful for you. The Apostle Paul, in this passage that we read, where he had been at Ephesus, as I said, for a long time, and now he was being called away. I just want you to notice, though, Paul didn't run away from the sadness. He didn't deny the sadness. He embraced it. And his friends embraced it as well. He knelt to pray with them, and they fell on his neck, and they covered him with their kisses. The Berean Standard Translation translates that verse this way: "And there was much weeping among them all, and having fallen upon the neck of Paul, they were kissing him repeatedly. Their hearts were broken at the thought that they may never see him again. So there was much weeping." Paul didn't tell them to suppress their grief. He understood that grief is a part of what it means to love one another and to be human. Together, they felt the weight of the moment, acknowledging the sting of a changing relationship. They were holding two competing thoughts within their hearts, and they're delicate and difficult to balance: the sorrow of goodbye with the joy of the work of God continuing, which is the same thing that we're doing here today. But this final meeting was not defined by sorrow alone. When Paul spoke to the elders of Ephesus, he said to them, and this is in verse 28, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he purchased or obtained with his own blood." These instructions acknowledge that Paul is concerned. Yes, I'm going away, but listen, the work of God continues. Amelia and Bob and Dan are going away, and the work will continue in another place for them. But the work at Harvest, we still have lost people in this city, and the work will continue. So it's not just a moment of sorrow. It's a moment of taking a quick look at where we are as a ministry and say, okay, how do we keep going forward to win the lost for Jesus Christ? These instructions acknowledge, his instructions to these Ephesian elders acknowledge that the work has to continue and that the enemy would try to stop it. He said, grievous wolves are going to come in when I leave. And so he commissions them. He reminds them about the gospel. He encourages them to stand firm. And he knew that any act of leaving implies both a past and a future, as we're acknowledging that today as well. A goodbye doesn't erase the past. In fact, it calls the past to mind, a past that makes the future possible. It's a celebration of what the Lord has built and also gives us a launching pad into what he's about to do. Saying goodbye to these dear saints today and all that they have accomplished among us brings to our hearts great joy and appreciation. How they've served the Lord by serving the body and our unsaved neighbors. They leave behind big shoes to fill, but remember, the Lord is never built on the power of any human efforts. So, what the Lord has started in them, he will continue in other brothers and sisters who will rise up. Amelia's leaving, Vicky's coming in. Amelia will be singing down in Florida. We'll probably hear her from there if you listen, if the winds are just right. But Vicky will be singing and sharing with us here each week. So there are beautiful opportunities that are also created in times of change. The Lord has been faithful to accomplish many things through these brothers and this dear sister, and he will continue to do that, just as Paul knew the work would continue in Ephesus. The Lord was faithful to accomplish wonderful things here, and he's going to expand his territory and accomplish great things in Florida and in Alabama. Oh, that wonderful banjo praise music. It's wonderful. So we thank the Lord for the opportunities that will be created by their absence to lead other people to stand up, embrace their gifts, and step forward and serve the Lord. So off they go, the three of them, with the blessings of the Lord's church. We wish them all of the best, of course. We seek their protection. We're going to pray for you guys. We're going to miss you guys. And the bond that we have in Christ is never broken. Do you know that miles are nothing to the Holy Spirit? Miles are nothing to the Holy Spirit. And the same God who knit our hearts together will go with them and stay with them. Here is the Lord. He is the Lord of the church they're going to. This is a neat trick. He's the Lord of the church they're going to and the Lord of the church they're leaving. So yes, goodbye is sad. Let me just say quickly why goodbyes are sad. Why are goodbyes sad? Well, goodbyes are sad because of love. It tells us that harvest is a real family. When one of our family members leave, someone in our family is leaving. Now, I have a postman. You probably have a postman as well, but a different one. Now, a postman, if he came up to me and said, "Hi, neighbor, I'm going to be retiring and going away in another post," I wouldn't grieve over the fact that my postman was leaving. A postman is a person in my neighborhood. He's in my neighborhood. He's in my neighborhood. A postman is a person in my neighborhood, a person that I meet when I'm walking down the street. A postman is a person in my neighborhood. Members of this church are my family. It's different. So we cry, we weep, we mourn, we grieve because of love. We're sad when people leave because they're a part of us. They're friends, they're co-laborers in Christ. We only grieve for those that we love deeply, for those who have shared in our burdens, sang songs with us, prayed with us, laughed at our joys, and comforted us in our trials. From the moment that Bob and Amelia and Dan stepped into this church, since they walked into Harvest, from the very moment they embraced the work of service, they have been around for a long time, all of them, from the very beginning, most of them. They've walked with us through valleys. We've had plenty of valleys at Harvest. And they've walked with us on the mountaintops and rejoiced with us. They've brought the spirit of grace, and they've touched many people with their lives along the way. And that's why saying goodbye is daunting, because of the love that we have for them. But I know something is true for us and true for them at the same time. Psalm 121 and verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. God is going out with you, and yet he's staying with us. That's a pretty cool trick. He's not going anywhere, and he's going everywhere. The same God that has been your anchor at Harvest is waiting for you at your new home. Before you even get there, he's waiting for you. You're not losing connections, you're expanding them. And in that, we truly, truly rejoice. And then one last thing I want to share. And then we're going to have you guys come up and pray. First of all, when you feel hurt that they're leaving, maybe what we should do, and I didn't learn this from the Bible, I learned it from Winnie the Pooh, but maybe what we should do is thank God that we have friends that mean so much to us that they make us sad. Right? I hope my postman doesn't hear this message. Poor guy. He brings me beautiful packages every day. Never asks for nothing. Well, one last thing. I'll leave you with this. Jeff alluded to it. It's something that's very distinctively, uniquely Christian. There's another sad goodbye in the Bible. It's a long one. I won't read it for you. It's all of John 13, 14, 15, and 16. If the Lord tarries, we'll study them together. But Jesus was saying goodbye to his disciples. And they were sad because they heard that he was going to go into Jerusalem and be scourged and hurt, and that he would rise again on the third day after 3 days in the grave. And he said this to them, very famous words. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place?" In other words, I wouldn't have told you that if it wasn't true. And in verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am you may be also. And you know the way that I'm going. And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Do you know what Jesus is saying in these words, friends? He's preparing them for the change of a temporary separation. It's not forever. It never is for Christians. You say goodbye to your mom or dad who passed in the Lord, your grandma or your granddad who passed in the Lord, if they knew the Lord, your friend who died in the Lord. You will see them again. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom and dad. I miss them terribly. And the older I get, the more I miss my aunts and people that I grew up with that had such a meaningful part of my life. We're going to see them again. Do you know why? Because for Christians, separation is always temporary. So I always like to say, we'll see you there or in the air, right? So if this should happen, that Bob and Amelia never come back to Harvest, they're down there, they're doing the work, they're too busy, I promise you we'll bump into each other on the way up. Amen? Because the Lord is coming. The Bible says that a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up into the clouds to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, encourage one another with these things. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. We have things to be sad about, let's be honest. But we have things to be gloriously hopeful about. Goodbyes are sad. But for Christians, goodbyes are always hopeful. Amen? All right, so with that said, Bob, Amelia, Dan, come on up to the stage. I'd like to ask all of the deacons to come up if you can. And Pastor Steve Martell. And we want to pray over you guys. And why don't you stand right here? All right. When Dan had his hip, when Bob had his hip replacement, I told him he had to think positively. He had to wake up every morning, look in the mirror, and say, "New hip, hooray!" And he said that helped him a lot. There was an anointing there. come on in. And I'll tell you something else. When Dan was fighting his cancer, it was very difficult for him to come to church. And every time that he would just be here, his presence was such an encouragement to us. And he would try to get here as often as he could to be with the body. All right, let me get behind here. All right, lay your hands on this dear brother, these brothers and this sister. Would you pray with me, church? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for loving us so much to bring this dear sister and these two brothers into our fellowship, Father. Thank you for all that you've accomplished through them, their desire to win the lost, their desire to serve you, Father, to go deeper and deeper in your word, and that maturity, Father, leading them to go outside of the walls of the church to reach for those who desperately need to know Jesus. Father, there are going to be challenges ahead for them. We know that. There are always challenges that are associated with change. I pray, Lord, that you would give them your peace, your comfort, and most of all, your joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Give them the joy of their salvation every day, Father. Let them know how much you love them. Remind them of that, Lord, as they wake up in the morning and confess their sins and present themselves, their bodies, as living sacrifices before you, Father. Use them mightily in the places where they're going. We know you're already preparing hearts to encounter them, Father. So be with them. And I also pray for harvest, too, Father, because change is not easy. But I know that you're going to do a wonderful work here, Father, with opportunities that will be created for service. So we give them all of the thanks, and we thank you, Lord, and give you all of the gratitude for sending them our way. And thank you so much that we could have this morning together to hear from them and then to go upstairs and break bread and spend time together as a church family and with some special guests who have joined us this morning. We love you, Lord. We praise you. Be with them every step of the way, Father. And again, just cover them with your joy. And we'll give you all of the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. All right. All right, we're going to close our service now, folks. We're going to close our service, and we will fellowship when we get upstairs. But would you bow your heads and pray with me? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? We just want to take a minute in case there might be someone here that does not have a relationship with the Lord. You've seen an outpouring of love for a family here today. We're a church family. We invite you to join that church family by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ paid the price for every sin that has separated you from God. You've all got, listen, there's nobody here that can honestly say that they have nothing that has offended God that they've done. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But God loves us so much that he gave us a way to solve that terrible problem of being separated from him. He sent his own son, fully God, into this world. Jesus Christ stepped into the world, and he only lived for a little over 30 years. But then he went to a cross that he didn't deserve. He tried to explain to his disciples the importance of that cross. And the importance of the cross is that while Jesus was on it, the innocent one was on it. Every sin we have ever committed, every sin that we ever will commit, was put upon him, and Jesus Christ died in our place. He paid the terrible price of sin that we all owed. He paid our debt. And all he asks of us is to receive that gift. We receive it by faith. We receive it by believing it. So one day you're going along, you don't quite get it, but all of a sudden the light goes on. Maybe a light has gone on today, listening to Bob and Amelia or Dan, or what we shared in the word here, maybe the light has gone on and you see that Jesus Christ is actually your Savior. He took your place. He paid the price for your sins. You can see him there. You're putting your faith in him. You know that you can't get to God on your own. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So this might be your moment. This might be the morning that you experience a spiritual birthday. And if you do, this church family would be happy to embrace you. Let me take a moment to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I want to caution you that there's no magic words that we're about to pray. The prayer itself doesn't save you. It's the faith that leads you to pray the prayer that saves you. If you've come to a place where you now believe that Jesus died for your sins, you want to be saved, pray this prayer with me, and it'll help you to enucleate your thoughts toward God and receive his forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I have failed many times. And I know that my sin separates me from you. God, I believe that you are holy and can have nothing to do with sin. But Lord, this morning I see something differently. I see Jesus on the cross. I see him carrying my sins. And I'm believing in him. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he died in my place. Lord Jesus, I'm putting my faith in you. I believe that you died and were buried and rose again from the dead. Lord, come into my life. Make me whole. And make a home in heaven for me. And with the help of your Holy Spirit, help me to live a life that is pleasing to you. And I'll give you all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray.